Chapter 1. The Searchers. A man on a horse in the Sangre de Cristo Mountains, north of Taos, New Mexico. Stars vanishing from the western sky. A hesitant golden light creeping from the Texas hills. The land was parched, and the scent of pinon and jasmine percolated in the high, dry air. The man had come all the way from the valley floor, and in the space of an hour, the landscape had changed from desert to burned brush to semi-alpine forest. He was tracking something. Something. The horse knew what it was, and it was nervous. The man thought he knew what it was, and that was why he was carrying a rifle. In the breaks between the trees, he could see nearly all the way to Arizona, and there was still a dusting of snow on Mount Wheeler. The horse snorted. The man tensed. He was no cowboy, and he'd be the first to admit that he had no right to be out here on a strange horse at his age. But what other choice was there? None, he said to himself. He was on his own. When he moved here, it was with the idea that it would be an assisted living ranch. Apart from his octogenarian sister in Georgia, he had no family. The plan was that Alejandro and his two boys would stay on the property all year round and take care of the fundamentals. All he had to do was enjoy the countryside and occasionally go for a ride or a hike in the surrounding woods and hills. It would be perfect. He could spend his golden years away from the city, in the peace and quiet of the mountains, and maybe write those memoirs he'd been contemplating. The horse paused, and he let the dust settle on the path. The sun appeared over a hill. It was now the hora in limpio, the golden hour, when everything became imbued with a sharpness and loveliness that took the breath away. He swallowed water from his canteen. Yes, he was alone. The boy who came to exercise the dogs was off today, and since Thursday, Alejandro had been down in Juarez with his kids, visiting his ailing mother. He wondered if the mountain lion had sensed that. Had it been aware that the ranch was more vulnerable than usual? He shook his head. Nah, the timing was just bad luck. He jangled the stirrups, and his mount moved forward. He'd been on a horse about half a dozen times since he'd moved out here, but before that, his previous equine experience had been finding quality oats for George Patton's mare, when he'd been a member of the General's Third Army, liberating Europe in 1944 and 1945. Thaddeus smiled to himself. That was a long time ago. A long time. And when his next birthday came around, he was going to be 85 years old. The tracks bent around a choya cactus. He yawned and wondered why he hadn't taken a moment to make some coffee. It would be nice about now. The day was coming to life. Hummingbirds were hovering over bees' hives, and way above him, huge volleys of honking geese were flying north from their winter watering grounds in the Sea of Cortez. The horse again seemed skittish. It had the beginnings of a cold muck sweat cooling on its neck. Alejandro would no doubt have said something reassuring in Spanish. He thought for a moment.
Buenos dias. Por favor,
he attempted in a soothing whisper. The horse, though, was not convinced. Thaddeus didn't even know its name. The big black scary one was what he generally called it. He nudged it, but it wouldn't move. It was his fault, not the horse's.
Old fool. What in the name of all that's holy are you, a city boy, doing in New Mexico?
He murmured rhetorically. But he knew the answer. As in the rest of Manhattan, real estate prices in Harlem had gone through the roof, and someone had offered him $1 million for his large pre-war duplex near City College. He had refused. He had refused when they upped the offer to $1.25 million, and still said no when it had been raised to $1.5 million. Finally, though, when they said, "Mr. Harper, we are prepared to offer you $2 million.